Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back, guys. DGS, a few minutes past 6 p.m. Happy Friday. Big weekend. Phoebe has her confirmation tomorrow. And not being Catholic, it's like, you know, I don't know.
I think it's exciting.
Oh, I think it's exciting, too.
It's a big deal.
I just don't know what to expect.
I've never been to one, but I have a lot of family members and friends who are Catholic, and I know you get your confirmation name, and just kind of like your final rite of passage, because I know they have their first communion when they're little, and then this is the next big Catholic thing.
I know this, and I think, I'm pretty sure this is biblical. It's all about the dress. So I'm pretty sure that when Jesus, right before he finally ascended, said, make sure to wear a nice dress, like That's what is important to him.
I would love to see a picture of her in her first communion dress. They dress like little brides.
Yeah.
It's really cute.
Little angels. I remember that so well. Like, oh God, that's like second grade, and it seems like yesterday.
You had a confirmation, but you don't remember what they're like?
No, for her.
Oh.
Yeah.
Did Nick have a confirmation?
What's that?
Nick had a confirmation.
He did. Yeah. He had a very empty one in the Lutheran church. So.
Oh, okay.
People get a new name in confirmation?
Yeah, I believe you get to select your own name, and it's the name of a saint.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
But you don't use it for anything, right?
No. I don't think it even becomes legal. I think just in the church, it's recognized that's your name. It's like your second middle name.
Gotcha.
Sarah, my girl at BioBalance, said that, because she takes care of Phoebe as well, and said that her brother's name is Jason, and his middle name is Aloysius. And so he picked a saint named Aloysius. So his Catholic name is Jason Aloysius. I'm like, oh my God, I will convert for that name. It's so awesome.
I've always been interested in how the Indian culture does that. Because you have your Indian name, and then if you have...
It's Native American.
No, not Native American, like India, joking. Indian. They choose an American name when they come over, and they do not use their Indian name. But some of the names are completely American already. So you'll find out, oh, your name is Sarah, but your name is Gina. Like, it's not like, why did you pick a new name? It's
interesting.
Where are you getting your info on the Indian people?
Yeah, I've never heard
I have
that,
Indian
but...
friends. It's real. It really happens. And you can also tell, this is maybe crossing a little bit of a line, but you can also tell when you call the call centers and you're not calling the United States and they're like, hello, my name is Bob. And you're like, I doubt you.
That's... Oh, he did the accent.
Yeah, he's committing to the bit. Gotta respect it.
I think this weekend you should watch The Problem with Apu.
Who wants to do something?
I've got a thing.
Oh, he's got a thing.
NFL teams have rejected backup quarterback's request to pay in Bitcoin. Thoughts on Bitcoin?
Wow.
Do you know anything about it?
I didn't know it was still kicking.
I didn't either.
I know it had its moment, and then we were going to make our own online currency, Columbo Bucks.
Columbo Bucks.
Tony, I believe, has a patent on that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, once it exploded about a year ago, I haven't heard a ton about it since.
Oh, it's still very much around.
Is it still as valuable as it was? Because I know it was up to like $5,800.
Or
okay.
But just like any exchange, you know, it had its moment, but then it's leveled out, and they're trying to make it more of a normal usable currency, and the more websites that accept Bitcoin as payment, the more the value of the
and
currency
less
in
of
general.
A get rich
exactly
quick kind of thing,
which is what it has been so far.
Yeah, I kicked myself. I think we were talking about this unsurprisingly back when it like exploded, and I was really mad that I didn't go buy a bunch, but then it pretty quickly came back down to earth.
I know a guy who became a legit millionaire by investing in Bitcoin early, and I think he invested that money in a bad business and is now back to nothing.
I don't know why that makes me happy.
I'm looking at this headline on Twitter right now. It says, Tommy Lahren stuns her detractors with her opinion on Alabama's aggressive anti-abortion law. So she basically said the anti-abortion law is way too restrictive. I'm surprised that people would be shocked by that because she got fired from the Blaze for saying that she was pro-choice. It's not like she's just now coming out of the closet with that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Headlines
Pat Robertson
are so funny.
Surprised me.
I heard you mention that, but I haven't seen it.
He just said he thought it was way too extreme and wouldn't pass muster in the Supreme Court.
Really?
And then he stopped a hurricane.
That's amazing. Do you think it will? Do you think it'll go to the Supreme Court, that one in particular?
No, I don't, because I don't know what I'm talking about here, but I'm not sure the Supreme Court will ever take up Roe v. Wade again. I just don't, I don't think they want any piece of it. And it would have to be like whoever was talking about it. I think it was Jim Talent. It would have to be the perfect case. But I wouldn't want that one to go if I were pro-life.
I'm
afraid
one.
It would be too easy to go like, oh, no, no, no.
Well, especially
that's crazy.
Since they're leaving out cases of rape and incest. You're gonna get a lot of pro-life people who can't even get behind that.
Yeah, again, I'm a tactician. I would want to win. And so I would want what to me would seem like a better, more reasonable case to make it harder. Look, Chief Justice Roberts, it's his decision. That's what it's going to come down to. And so I would make it as difficult as possible for him to say no.
I agree. I think they should have waited until they had a 6-3 majority instead of a 5-4, because 5-4 is just too narrow. And like you said about John Roberts.
I mean, not to be insensitive, but it's an RBG heartbeat away. You know,
exactly.
I mean, what is she, 86?
She's old.
Yeah.
I don't think she's the oldest one. I think Breyer is the oldest one. But I do think it's too quick to do this. Now, I don't think Missouri is trying to push the constitutional issue, though. I think they were trying to pass this law anyway.
Yeah.
And now it's becoming a part of this movement to get something to the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
But I like the Missouri law. I just think that the Alabama one is clearly made to go to the Supreme Court. And I think it's too early
for that.
Can I
make a point? God, I'm so tired of this. So tired of this.
Oh, your
voice.
Cough, yeah.
Yesterday we talked about the adversity score, and mm-hmm. I was listening. That's one guy, but I was listening to a guy be interviewed. He's a high school principal, African-American, and he said, well, I don't think anyone who's white can really comment on this from their perch of privilege. And it just pisses me off, because I've come a long way on this. And I used to be like, no affirmative action of any kind. It's stupid. Just start out the race. And if you can't beat white people, or if women can't beat men, I really have come around a lot on understanding. You know, yeah, a lot of people really do have a much harder time. But can we stop saying things like perch of privilege, that every white person, it has a, you know, gold
you're allowed to
streets.
Say you're allowed to say you don't have the skin of a person of color, so you don't carry that around with you. That's fair. It's fair to say that. But then to call it a perch of privilege and act like just because you're white, you're automatically better off.
There are a lot of white people that struggle.
You're better off in the fact that other white people aren't looking down on you for being a different color, or people of color aren't looking at you and saying, well, you're not the same race as me. So you're better off in that sense, but it doesn't mean you're better off in life.
Yes.
So the adversity score just really made me mad, because I'm probably the most open to that kind of stuff of anybody on the show. But come on, for academics to say, okay, you scored okay, but according to these statistics, you've had a really hard life, so we're going to give you a couple extra points. That's BS, because you don't know. You could, some of it was based on like the statistics of where you grew up, the poverty
line
there. Not
even your life.
You could write down an address that you don't actually live at. People do that to get into certain schools. People do that to get certain privileges elsewhere. You could just be like, oh yeah, my cousin lives in this horrible neighborhood. I'm going to put down their address. They're probably not going to follow up. And even if you did live in just complete poverty, you could have had a loving family. You could have had so many advantages that other people, it doesn't take into account like, okay, yeah, white kid whose parents were completely middle class, you're doing fine. You don't get any extra points on the adversity score. But what if they were abused the entire time they were growing up?
It's a good point that, where are we, 63103 down here downtown?
Yeah.
So if you just assume that anyone who lives in 63103 is living a terrible life,
it's condescending.
How condescending.
It's condescending. You could easily fake that. And it doesn't, whenever we start to parse out like who's had a harder life, you literally cannot just measure that by statistics. Because like I said, someone could be being abused and you have no idea. Someone could be going through the hardest time ever, but since you can't show it on a piece of paper, they don't get extra points.
They live in a good neighborhood.
Even if I were going to benefit from something like this, I would feel so condescended to. It would make me feel dirty.
And I guess there's no choice.
Because you don't know what your score is.
Yeah.
The College Board are the only people who know what the score is. They decide who is they decide who gets the charity.
They really
situation.
Should have a box you can check that says, I want to opt out of this. I don't want you looking at my adversity score.
But why would you opt out?
If you because, had because dignity.
You're getting extra
and
points,
self-respect.
Though. But the way they set that up is it's like, well, why wouldn't I? Why wouldn't I at least, hey, check, see if I can get 6 extra points on whatever this is.
It doesn't solve the underlying problem either. Those who I know in college admissions, because I know a lot of the teacher world.
Are they Indian?
No. Do you want me to do the accent?
That'd be good.
They say that it's not... The problem is all the people who would already be affected by the adversity score are already getting aid. They're already getting financial aid. And they say, you know, these people actually don't need more financial aid. We kind of have that part covered. They need sort of like life coaching. And so this is just another blanket that's not going to solve the same issue that already exists.
Yeah. It's kind of like when bad parents don't want to put in the time and effort to actually raise their kids, but they just throw money at them.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it reminds me of.
It is.
It's like,
yep.
Let's just give them money. Money will make it better. Or a leg up in this sense will make it better. No, how about if you have such a problem with certain factions of society actually going into those communities and making them better? Rather than after the fact, just throwing all this truly inconsequential stuff in there, like, oh, we'll just give you some extra points and we'll get you in here. It just makes me nuts.
What we need are more real statesmen and thinkers like Emily Ratajkowski. Did you see her thing?
Is she too hot again?
No. No, shockingly.
Remember when she needs an adversity score because she's been discriminated
yes,
against for
that's
being
why she
way
can't get a job.
Hot.
She can't get a job in acting. She's
too
way too
sexy.
Hot. She's intimidating. No, she said that the reason that Alabama is passing this abortion law is because they need more black people to keep the prison the prison system running.
Oh, private prisons?
Yes. So they don't want your black baby aborted so that it can grow up, be a criminal, and go to prison. And she said it while naked.
Well, someone's doing the Lord's work, finally.
That's a pretty loaded statement.
Yeah, that she's
you
reaching.
Think?
There's a lot there.
You know
There's
why you think
that,
though? Because you can't handle how hot she
mm-hmm.
is.
That's right. She said it naked.
Yeah.
And I'm not even looking at
don't
her saying
think,
it, and I can't think of anything
don't
else.
Don't you think, Rage, as an attractive young woman, that if you were known for your body, but you wanted to make a political statement... Wouldn't you do it in, like, normal clothes or clothes at all?
Yeah, but the point is, it doesn't matter what it... She is such a hypocrite because it's like, people discriminate against me because I'm too hot. I can't help how hot I am. But then she flaunts it every single chance she can possibly get. It's just crazy. Listen, I get why people are so upset with this law in Alabama. It's not my favorite thing that's ever happened either. But there are so many young women in the media coming forward and you're making it worse. When Jamila, I forget her name, but she's on The Good Place. Love the show. Love her on the show. But when she tweets, hey, I got an abortion and it was the greatest thing I ever did and the greatest thing I ever did for the baby I didn't want. You helped no one. You just gave people who are staunchly pro-life, you have disgusted them. You have alienated them. They don't care what you have to say because you're being crass. You're being cruel. You're being insensitive to people who cannot get pregnant. Just stop. Just quit. And Emily Ratajkowski, whatever your name is, put on some damn clothes if you're going to make that statement. I don't think you're intelligent enough to connect the dots between, oh, they want the black kids to grow up and go to prison. I don't think you came up with that on your own. And even if you did, I would take it a little bit better if you were wearing a suit and not sitting in a bathtub or whatever you were doing.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back, guys. DGS. Can I start this segment by saying I feel like my arms look pretty veiny?
All right.
I think what it is, I haven't been eating much, and then I ate a cookie. And the sugar, like, bleh, you know what I mean?
I think that's why the cookie monster is so jacked, too.
Could be. When I was 22 and super into bodybuilding, I went to see the Mr. Missouri contest, and And these guys were huge. They were like legit bodybuilders. And what sticks out in my mind is that in between, so they have prejudging where they do all their flexing and they get scores. Then they have the show. And in between, the guy that ended up winning was literally dumping chocolate candy into his mouth because, like, you know, there's like 3% body fat. And you can just see every little tiny vein and striation. And so he did that because, you know, he has an hour until the show. He's not going to get fat, but the sugar just flooded his body and his veins just popped.
I feel like he's disrespecting something that I truly love.
Candy.
As somebody who is attracted to men, Rachel.
I thought you were speaking for yourself.
Yeah, it made more sense that way.
Is there a point where men get so big that they're no longer attractive?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've never seen one of those bodybuilding competitions and been like, ooh, it's...
But you like men who are built, right?
Well, yes, but there reaches a point where it's like, you're scaring me a little bit, and... When you spend that much time working on your body, that's also a turnoff.
For me, what it means, having been one of those guys, I was never like that, but I, you know, you could tell when you looked at me. For me, what it means is, oh, I know everything I need to know about you. Because when I was that, that's all you needed to know about me, and that's all I wanted you to know about me.
And you know everything that they do socially because they have to spend that much time doing it, right? Yeah. I look at those guys and I think... I don't want you. I don't like anything about you.
Ryan's a candy builder, not a bodybuilder.
Got to do a few more reps.
Every day.
I love how much you like candy.
Today's Snickers Day.
Yesterday was Snickers Day, and then some cupcakes showed up, so it became Cupcake Day. Now Snickers is today.
You know who has lived a really interesting life? Is Yoko Ono. I just finished watching a Netflix special on John and Yoko, and I don't like her, but I have to admit, like, I had always stereotypically hated her, being such a Beatles fan, and I was little when they broke up, I'm like, oh, it's that Japanese lady. What an interesting life she's has led. And when you are attached to someone famous like that, you know, like, legacy is a big deal to me, and what will I be remembered for, and what this and that. Like, she's always just going to be John Lennon's wife.
Was she interesting pre-John Lennon? She's
interesting, for sure. She was an artist, and that's how they met, and she was very weird. I mean, it was, you know, 1969, whatever, but she didn't really have any commercial success. What bothered me, and I take crap for this every time, what bothered me, most people hate the fact that Yoko ever stood on stage with John Lennon and sang or played the congas or whatever. But I felt the same way about Linda McCartney. Like, Paul, I get it. She's your wife and you love her. And she can hit one note with one finger on the keyboard and sing like a dead cat. But it's like, you're Paul McCartney. Don't get your wife off the stage.
But did anybody ever think, wow, I really want to respect Linda McCartney as an artist?
No.
Whereas Yoko was like, oh, she's an artist. And she was nowhere near the level of John Lennon.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah, I would say, I know what you're saying when, like, all she'll ever be known for is being John Lennon's wife. But I would say that's an even trade because she's reached this level of fame to where people who would have never known about her now know about her and worship her and think she is great because she's had that level of exposure, mm-hmm. even with all the bad press that came with it.
Yeah.
She's really ran with it, too. She's... Other than Linda McCartney, who is just famous because she married him, she kind of became a thing of her own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, much different than just John Lennon's wife. She was like an entity of her mm-hmm. own, whereas everybody else was just a Beatle wife.
Right.
Yeah, it's so much. I'd seen this footage before, but John was such an interesting guy. A lot of bad stuff about him. But there's one scene when they're at, I think it's called Twittenhurst, and this... they called him a shell-shocked Vietnam vet, so I guess PTSD, and he'd spent some time in a insane asylum or, you know, psychiatric hospital, and he had been sending these crazy letters to John, and then he showed up at the door. Have you ever seen this footage?
No.
And John just talks to him, and the guy, the sweet-looking guy, and he's like, well, what about when you sang this? That was for me, right? And John's like, John Lennon, he's like, no, it's for me, it's for Yoko. Like, you gotta stop taking it all so seriously. Aww. And then it's so sweet, because they talk for about 15 minutes, and the guy's just trying to come to terms with the fact that Hey Bulldog wasn't written for him. And John says, are you hungry? And he's like, yes, and he makes him breakfast.
Aww.
I just love it. I think it's so sweet.
That reminds me of the Chris Farley sketch when Paul McCartney was on. He's like, Paul, is it true when you said, it's so cute.
The best. Remember when you were in the Beatles?
Yeah, Paul, remember when you were in the Beatles? I love him. He had a great book that was put together for him. I think it was called The Chris Farley Show. And it was just everyone in his life, like an oral history of him, his career, what happened. What a sweet man. This really sucks that he's dead.
How are you feeling about Game of Thrones?
So Sunday is the last ever episode. Mm-hmm. I'm upset because I love that show and I've spent so much time watching it. And I feel like with this last season especially, I've just fallen in love with it all over again. It's had its weak moments, but I love it and I'm really sad.
It's the ending of a relationship.
I don't want it to end. I don't want it to end.
So you're in the minority. I guess it's just popular to bitch.
But, the last episode?
Well, just everything in the media is how everyone hates this year's episodes.
You know what? There's been a couple moments where I've been like, I don't get that. But I think people are going to bitch no matter what. It's ending and we're all sad about it. And everyone wants it to go the way that they want it to go. I don't necessarily feel that way because if I could just predict exactly what was going to happen and everything happened the way I wanted it to happen, then why would I watch? It's another person's art that they're putting to screen. I want to see the choices that they make with the story. George R.R. Martin isn't even involved anymore. This is up to HBO. I've been here the whole time. I want to see the end. I accept whatever they choose to do. But these petitions going around like remake season 8. Are you delusional? Do you really think they're going to go spend hundreds of millions of dollars to remake this season because you didn't like it?
Wow.
And how could they make it to where it would please everybody? You can't please everybody.
Yeah. And while I really appreciate people who are passionate about our show, and I'm certainly passionate about things, no one should be passionate about anything like that, my show or Game of Thrones, to the point that you're like starting petitions. I mean,
well, it's almost sweet that they care so much, but you have to realize that it doesn't belong to you. You are enjoying the fruits of someone else's labor. So stop trying to control it. You have no control. You're there as a viewer. You don't have to watch it if you don't like it.
Do petitions really accomplish anything anymore? I know that kept Star Trek on the air in 1969, but we're a little past writing letters now, aren't we?
I did one petition in my life. True story.
Recently?
Fifth grade.
Ah.
I started a petition to get a Kotex machine in the boys' bathroom.
What is a Kotex machine?
Do you know those two words?
No.
Like a maxi pad.
Do you know what a Kotex is?
I think I'm gathering the idea.
It's for lady problems.
You literally don't know what that is?
I mean, I know what it is now.
Because
I
didn't said know the words maxi pad?
Yeah, because you said the words maxi pad. Is that a brand? A Kotex?
Yeah, it's a brand of like pads and tampons.
I mean, I know you haven't.
It's like the most popular.
I know you haven't used them, but I mean, you've been alive for 37 years.
I've probably bought them for my wife too.
Yeah, it's like not knowing what Kleenex or Levi's are.
So did you think it was like a candy machine or something?
Mark Fouch kicked a kickball and busted out the girls' bathroom window, so we all ran to look, and there was a Kotex machine, and we're like, "What is that?"
In elementary school?
Yeah. Adult alert here, like, you know, and one of the kids said, "That's for when girls bleed." And I said, "Are you kidding me?"
Oh, so you thought like if they had a cut or something.
We bleed so much more than they do.
Oh, and I'm the naive one.
So, well, I was 8. So you're 37. So I got a petition going, and Mr. Bossy, who later passed away too young from cancer, my PE teacher, heard about it. And he, I'll never forget it. He put his arm around me and he goes, "Glover, I'm going to do you the biggest favor of your young life." And he told me what Kotexes were, and I ripped up the petition and
Dave Glover needs a Kotex machine.
was this a really well done letter, or was this just like,
"Hey,
I want
about it"? I was passionate about it.
Were you making the case that look, boys bleed too?
Yeah.
Is that what the petition was about?
Yeah, pretty much. It was just like, look, if you can show me a girl that, you know, scrapes up her knees more than me, then keep your machine. But
man, you know one that I really, I can't say I wrote a petition for it, but I was petitioning hard in fifth and sixth grade that why can girls wear hats in school and boys can't? And I still don't. I still don't completely know the answer to that question. I think
that
it probably
is a thing? I didn't know that
it was at the time. I don't know if it still is that girls could wear hats, and girls didn't really wear baseball hats at the time. Like they could wear kind of like fancy, more girl hats, whatever that would be. And then boys couldn't wear hats because boys just wore baseball hats, and that was the rule for my whole grade school career. And I thought, this is really unfair. But I think as I got older, I realized that might have been an old biblical carryover.
Like to cover your head.
Mm-hmm, covering your head.
Yeah.
I think that's where that came
Rachel,
from.
Rachel, did you have hat rules?
No. Did not.
Really? You went to a Christian school?
We just didn't wear hats.
I think that the dress code changed probably very shortly after I was there.
I mean, I had to always wear a skirt and I wanted to wear pants. So that was my struggle.
Was that the only uniform aspect?
Oh, there were tons.
Really?
It was a very long list on the dress code.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.